Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today we continue our conversation with Alistair Begg. Well, this is Dick Staub back with Alistair Begg, and we're talking this afternoon about the theology of the Beatles, what it is that they actually believed, and I remember many of us as kids, and I happened to be in a very wonderful home, but I thought about so many of my friends when I heard these lyrics.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years.
Remember when that first came out, about this girl, and she's leaving home after living alone for so many years, and her mother and father talked about it, they didn't understand it. This theme of alienation starts really appearing, and the fact that people are lonely, and that, and in a certain sense, that I think was reflecting some of what was going on in the Beatles' own life. Here they'd been saying, all you need is love, and in reality, the love that they had in their own life wasn't enough.
Well, that's right, and that's where their whole worldview begins to crumble on them. And even today, you know, a guy like Paul McCartney is in touch with people like Phil Kagi, which really excites me because, you know, Phil has really turned on for Christ. And to think that now he is at least in the framework where he can hear the answer to some of these questions.
One of the theological statements that they make that to me was so depressing, and I'm going to slip this in real quick, we didn't talk about it, but is this phrase in the song, In the End.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the
That was really depressing to me when I heard that, because here you've got this kind of, well, I guess love didn't work, so maybe what it means is if I give enough love and get enough love, it'll all even out in the end. The really very nihilistic kind of philosophical, theological statement near the end of their work together.
Absolutely. And see, the thing is, it's been very acceptable for middle-class Christians to go along and sit in very nice, warm and airy theaters and listen to Mahler, you know, and talk about the fact that Mahler was suicidal, and it's all very okay. But somehow or another, you can't do that in relationship to the Beatles. I agree with you. I think that's absolutely right. Somebody wants to stand up and say, hey, listen, greater love is no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Mm. And you've got it. A year before Lennon died, he gives an interview to Rolling Stone magazine. What about Help, they say. He said, I wrote Help in 65. And people hailed it as another advance in rock and roll. It was the cry of my heart, and nobody came to answer.
Help, I need somebody. Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find, I've changed my mind, and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Knowing that quote, that this was the cry of my life and nobody came to answer, I mean, that's really very heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, my friends think I'm kind of nuts in relationship to this, but, you know, everybody says, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated and everything else? I mean, I have just riveted in my mind that scene outside the Dakota building in New York where they finally pick Lennon up out of the ground, and they realize that he's gone at the mm-hmm. at the hands of that kid's bullet. Because at that point in his life, Lennon was off drugs. He was into a vegetarian kick. He'd got a control of all his eating disorders and everything else. He was about as sensible as he had been in a decade. And right at the moment when, with his head clear, you just thought you might have a chance to speak into his life in some way. It's gone in an instant before we have a chance. And it's just he's just a picture of what we're dealing with every day in all of our lives. I mean, the drummer in Smashing Pumpkins, same thing. Kurt Cobain, same thing. I mean, time and time and time again. And those are only big dramatic examples of the interaction that all of us have with kids. And so I want to encourage our people, you know, to get serious about being real about the things of Jesus Christ, listening to music so that you can talk to people, rather than simply sloganeering and banging the drum for the same old stuff.
Listen to this, because I think this kind of reflects a lot of what we've been trying to say this afternoon in terms of understanding both the message of the Beatles and the messengers themselves.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be.
When you and I first talked about this, this was when you were on tour with your book, Made for His Pleasure, and I told you about this segment, and you said, well, if you ever want to do the Beatles, you know, I want to do the Beatles. And I've noticed that we had the author on of the book, The Day Paul Met John. It's a story about the day they met. And people called in, and half the people said, I love the Beatles, and I'm so glad you're talking about them. Other people called in and said, this was the worst time of my life. I was on drugs. I was screwed up. And so how do we take all of this music and the emotion of it and connect it to a legacy that we should put in the perspective of our own life and faith today?
Well, I think it's very, very important that what we're not saying in this is a, you know, these guys had it, and let's all go out and buy their albums and listen to them and tune in. Because I recognize that for some people, this drags up memories that they would rather forget. Therefore, for them, they shouldn't get into it. For others of us, of course, who were able to come through it clean, then it doesn't hold the same temptations. And so I think there is great value in seeing what they did as a window through which we can view 30 years of Western culture.
Now, when you look at their worldview and you say, this is what Christianity provides that they needed, and you can hear they needed it from their lyrics, what are some of the things that leap out at you?
Well, they were looking for peace. And Jesus said, you know, that in me you will have peace. But you wouldn't come to me. When he looked at Jerusalem, he looks at Los Angeles, Chicago, Cleveland, says the same thing. If only you had known what makes for peace. Love, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I mean, all those essential cries of the human heart are met in the person and work of the Lord Jesus.
And that is really the place that they needed to go, and they never did. And that's the legacy of the Beatles, is that they both shaped a culture and reflected a culture, but ultimately they were reflecting and shaping a culture that needed God, just like every other culture. And we find God through Jesus Christ.
This concludes our conversation with Alistair Begg. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's K-I-N-D-L-I-N-G-S. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.